Well, it's good to have you back. With these very short titles, I sometimes forget which books I've talked to you about, but I can look now where it says also by Dick Francis. And so last time we talked about Proof.
Yes.
And then before that we talked about The Danger.
Proof was about the lion. The Danger was about kidnapping and recovery of kidnapping.
And then the first time I met you, I think we talked about Banker.
And that was merchant banking and and pharmacology.
So you've hit an awful lot of topics over your long career as a writer, but you've gone back to your roots, in effect, haven't you, with Break-In. You're talking about racing, and your central character is a rather tall jockey who might be as tall as yourself.
Yes, Kit Fielding, and... Since I wrote Break-In, I've been doing the Lester Piggott biography in England, and that's just come out, and it's now top of the bestseller list over there. And that prevented me doing any research for the new novel. My new novel is called Bolt, and it'll be out next year, and I'm being sort of not quite unique, because I did do another character, Sid Halley. He appeared in Odds Against, but I didn't bring him out again until about 10 years later in Whip Hand. But this time I'm using Kit Fielding again in the current novel.
Now, Kit Fielding, what was his first novel?
Break-In.
Break-In.
Yes.
Kit is... this was the first time you've introduced Kit?
Yes.
In Break-In?
Yes.
And you're bringing Kit back?
Bringing him back in the one I'm third of the way through at the moment.
In Boats.
Bolt. B-O-L-T.
Which must be about a boat.
Well,
would you say Bolt or Boat?
Bolt. B-O-L-T.
Oh, Bolt.
Yes. It has a...
like in bolting from the starting position.
Bolting from... or horse bolting with you. Or in Humane Killers, they use a bolt instead of a bullet. And it has a few meanings.
So, in effect, you've only had two series characters, haven't you?
Two...
series characters.
Yes.
The character coming back in
yes.
subsequent novels.
Yes, Kit Fielding in this, in the current one, and Sid Halley in Odds Against and Whip Hand. I repeated Sid Halley because they made a television company in England, made a television series based on Odds Against. It was called The Racing Game. And the chap who played the part of Sid Halley, he was a Shakespearean actor, Mike Gwillam. He played it so well. I got to know him and made great friends with him. I thought, God, I must write another book with him as the main character, which I did, and this was called Whip Hand. At the end of Odds Against, he loses the use of his arm. And so I had to start off the Whip Hand with him going to the artificial limb center and being fitted with a new limb.
Mm.
And it seemed to go down all right.
Well, let's talk about Kit Fielding, whose real name is Christmas Fielding,
yeah.
as I
mm-hmm.
recall. Now, Kit is really a good character as a hero, because he has almost all the attributes of a hero. He is an athlete. He's smart. He's creative. He takes over in this investigation of the
newspaper.
Newspaper, the blackmailing, not the blackmailing, I guess, but the attempt to smear. I can't remember the other characters.
Allardyce.
Yes. I can't remember all the names, but.
Holly, his twin sister's husband, Allardyce. And he takes over that, and. He's tough, too, and I think I bring out his toughness in the story. And
he can stand a lot of knifings and beatings and things like that.
Well,
shocks.
Most of my characters can.
Well, why did you decide to focus in Break-In on a jockey? Because you have, except for the other couple of occasions that you mentioned, you've gotten away from that.
Well, it is a world which I know a lot about, and... the telephone tapping in England did happen to a jockey in the last few years. And I pumped this fellow, and I got a lot of information from him. And it was because of this that I wrote break in. It isn't, it's fiction, but it's based on fact. What has happened when the telephone wires were tapped recently and, you know, this jockey was approached at a race meeting saying, look, we know you did this and this. Well, how they knew, he didn't know, because he'd only spoken over the telephone and it was found that his wires were tapped. So I used it in the story.
Now, in Break-In, you also have a love interest in the form of a young American news editor, a television news editor.
Danielle.
Yeah, and you have a nice scene about a bureau, a news bureau there. What was that patterned on?
So that was patterned on the television station in Florida. I know a girl who was the head of the television. She wasn't the head, but she was the news editor of a television station there, and she was a great help. And
the WSBN?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say which particular branch of that television station it was, but she was a great help.
For a news bureau in London, though, 60 people. I was looking at that. 60 people. That's more than most stations.
Well, that isn't wrong, because I went to the station in London and I appeared on the program, and it was transmitted over to this country, and there were 60 people.
Now, was that a network news bureau you're talking about? Over there, or?
It was joined to the people who do the Today Show. What is that?
CNBC.
NBC.
Oh, that was the NBC News Bureau.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see they're having a large bureau there.
Oh, they had a large bureau, and they had a number of interviewing rooms and paintings on the back of them. It looked as if you were looking out onto London, but you probably weren't. You were looking out onto a painting, or the television cameras were.
Well, you certainly do a lot of research, and you fill your books with facts. In Break-In, of course, you have a lot, not only a lot of information about wiretapping, but videotapes.
Yes. And my wife is a great research gatherer. She loves doing this. We have our video machines at home, and my son, he's sitting here by the side of me. He's a great help, too.
I can see your son is never going to be a jockey.
Neither of the boys, the eldest boy, he was hoping to be a jockey, but he got too big, and this one's too big as well. But,
Lucky for them.
Well, they play rugger and soccer and things like that. So.
Yeah. He looks more like a soccer player than he would be a jockey. Well, also in Break-In, you have something kind of rare for Dick Francis' book. You have... and his love interest. You even have a sex scene.
It is rare, but it's not unique in my books. They have come into earlier ones, High Stakes, for instance, which was part of it was set in Everglades in Florida, and forfeit certain sex scenes on rugs in front of the fire. I won't go into all of them. I don't want to put my listeners off.
You won't. You have a lot of interesting information about the British racing world in a Break-In. And in reading it, it seems to me that the British racing world seems so much more benign than the American racing scene. That is, it seems to be... less violent, it seems like a more genteel sport in England than it is.
I think it is more benign than the U.S. scene, but it's gradually creeping up with the bigger prizes coming into it. You know, they're not playing the straight game as much as they used to. Although most of my books are set on the steeplechasing world instead of the flat racing world. And the steeplechasing world, they do that branch of the game more for sport than less for business, rather than the flat racing where you hope to win races with your colts and they go to stud and for thousands of pounds afterwards, and the mares go to stud at three. Well, the mares who go jumping, they don't go to stud until they're about eight or nine, and they haven't got such a value to their future life as the flat racing good horses have, and therefore the steeplechasing enthusiasts do it more for sport rather than gain, and the flat racing people, and especially now that the Arabs are coming into it and spending millions of pounds on the horses, they are doing it more for gain than probably sport.
How much flat racing is there in England?
There's racing every two meetings every day of the week, except Christmas Day and Good Friday. I think those are the only 2 days. That's flat racing goes from the end of March, last week in March, until the beginning of November, and they have some of the weekend Saturday meetings. Sometimes there are four meetings a day, and then the bank holidays they might have eight meetings a day. The steeplechasing scene goes from August the 1st until June, the beginning of June, 10 months. It is longer, and there are more meetings, little jumping meetings all over the country. But they can't race during the bad weather, January and February. The meetings are arranged, but, and they hold them if they possibly can, but often they're snowed off or they're frozen off. And this year, there was no racing for almost a month during February because of very cold weather. And it's a job to keep the horses happy and the staff happy, and so because as soon as the weather breaks, they have to go back and do their stuff again.
One thing amused me. You have your character, Kit Fielding, living in I can't remember the name of the town that he lives in, but it is a
Lambourne.
What is it?
Lambourne.
But as I recall, it's a place that he can drive to any track in England.
Yes.
Within 2 hours.
Well, not within 2 hours. You to go up to Newcastle, it might take 3.5 hours. But the southern racing world don't sort of go to the northern racing world as much as all that, except on the big occasions. They go up north for they have a big meeting at one big meeting at Newcastle, and they go up there for that in December. And but most of I was a jockey, and I lived very close to where Kit Fielding was based, and I often used to go to tracks right in the north of England and come back at night, and maybe go off to somewhere in the south of England the next day. It's very central. Lambourne is situated very centrally in the country, and nowadays the roads are much better than when I was driving. When I was driving as a jockey, I still drive, but when I was driving as a jockey.
In one of the early chapters, you have Kit Fielding on a horse. He wins that race, but he has a feeling about horses. I guess it's this. He does have a sense of telepathy with his twin sister, but he also seems to have it with the horses, and he senses a very evil horse that he's riding. Is that really accurate, that a jockey
absolutely,
can sense?
Absolutely, absolutely, and it happened to me quite often, and there were one or two horses who I rode, which one could tell as you landed over one fence just how they were going to meet another one, and you kick them on. Especially, you can gain no end of lengths from the opposition when you are in that way of thinking with the horse. You know what it's going to do before it does it. And there are a number of horses and jockeys who have that feeling, and it's surprising the number of races which they win. It's difficult to explain, but I've tried my best in breaking to explain it, but it is difficult to explain to people who don't appreciate what you are trying to tell them.
I wonder if it's something like driving a car. You know, when you have your own car, you can feel when things aren't going right. But if you drive a strange car, something could be wrong, but you're not sure what it's supposed to be like.
It's more than that, because you have animals between your legs and instead of a motor car. But it is that sort of thing. You know just what your horse is capable of, or what he's incapable of, and you don't ask him the impossible, because you know what he can't do that. But you, if you feel that he can do something very unusual, you'll ask him to do that. And if he's has that communication with you, he will do it. You squeeze the horse with your legs where you, just where you want him to take off at a jump. And those dull animals who don't respond to what you do, they gallop into the fence and over and over end you go. But when you have that particular feeling with a horse, it's surprising how much you can gain. Sometimes you gain a length at every fence from the rest of the field, and there are 12 fences in a 2 mile steeplechase. That means you've made up 12 lengths, and that's all got to be made up on the flat by the other horses.
How much recreational riding do you do these days?
It's getting less because I'm getting older, but I have about 2 or 3 days fox hunting during the winter, and I judge at horse shows during the summer, 2 or 3 a year. And when you're riding at a horse show, you judge a number of classes. There might be 20 or 30 horses in each class, and you should ride every horse. Sometimes the executive keep coming and have a word, hurry up, come on, we're short. You have to cut one or two of those at the other end of the top, lower end of the scale. You have to cut them out, but you try to do that as much as you can. And then my eldest son, he trains. He's got a stable of 35 horses. Some of them are flat race horses, which I don't ride because I'm a bit too heavy, but quite a few of them are jumpers, and I go and ride out with him occasionally when I have a little time on my hands.
How about all those old breaks and bruises? Do you feel them when the weather is damp?
Fortunately not, no. I have a recurring dislocation shoulder, which I have to be careful of. Every time I get on a horse, I strap it down. And when I go to bed at night, I strap it down. Not that I'm rough in bed at night, but if you turn over in your sleep with your hands behind your head, it's inclined to go out. It's not very nice. The pain one gets from a dislocated shoulder is far worse than any break you have in the bones.
You're still spending your winters in Fort Lauderdale, aren't you?
Yes, and we are going to spend, my wife and I are now going to spend the next 14 months there. We're going to stay there for 14 months from this date on.
You're not going to burn out your computer tapping out this new novel now?
No, I hope. I've been so busy in the last 2 years, I hope to have a bit of a rest after I finish the current novel. Mm-hmm. And then have a holiday.
When are we going to get the Lester Piggott book?
Putnam's are publishing it next fall. It's either going to be late October or beginning of November. It is going to be called over here The Life of a Jockey, Lester Piggott's Life Story. A flat race jockey, Lester Piggott's Life Story. But in England it's called Lester because he is known countrywide just as Lester.
How's Putnam treating you after your ordeal at Harper and Row?
Putnam's, I couldn't be more pleased. The president, Phyllis Gran, who's my editor, she's wonderful to work with, and I think they've done a wonderful job. They're turning out a much nicer edition of the book than the earlier publishers. I don't want to run the earlier publishers down, but they did me very well, but Putnam's have exceeded them by a long way.
Now, the earlier books were more modest in their appearance, but most mysteries are not well publicized and promoted and get a very small physical book. But Putnam has blown up your books so that they look much bigger and impressive than the Harper and Row versions.
They are a very attractive book, aren't they? And they're nice books. You pick them up and you sit down or lie down in bed and read them, and you... And lots of people tell me they enjoyed the night last night. They read it for about 3 or 4 hours and finished it. And I think, God, I'll think of all months I've spent on that book, and it's gone in that time. But then, again, it's rewarding because they couldn't put it down, and they have to get to the end.
Well, also, you write in a very direct and simple way, almost like, almost like a newspaper writer in many respects.
Well, I was a newspaper man myself for 16 years, yeah. So I learned that I didn't use 2 words where one would do, or I didn't use 5 words where maybe 1 or 2 would do, and I try to cut out the unnecessary works and keep it very much to the point.
What about yourself? Do you do a lot of reading, mysteries, or anything?
I used to do more reading than I do now. I don't seem to have time, but when I finish the current book, I promised myself to do a bit of reading, which I haven't been able to do for 18 months.
No, you're not going to be doing that, because after you finish the current book, there'll be another current book.
Well, I shall start on some research then, but when you're doing research, you can read as well.
Well, Dick Francis, Break In is another good book, especially interesting to me because it sheds a little bit of light about a jockey who may or may not resemble yourself. And so that was interesting, and it's a very good read. I know your readers are going to be enjoying a Break-In, and we're certainly going to look forward to seeing the Lester Piggott book when that hits the shelves in the fall. And I appreciate that you took time out to come in and talk to me.
It's been a pleasure, and nice to meet you again, Don.
Thanks.